One of the most dramatic episodes in the Torah is the moment when Yosef finally reveals his true identity to his brothers. The Chafetz Chaim explains, the brothers had many questions. They were troubled by the fact that they had to endure years of hardship, the famine, the incarceration of their brothers Shimon and Binyamin, being accused of theft and espionage. Then, as soon as Yosef revealed himself and he said, Ani Yosef, Hashem's master plan became clear and conspicuous to the brothers. And in their minds, it all fell into place. All their questions, all their suspicions, all their doubts, now it all made perfect sense. Everything that transpired for the last 22 years fell into proper perspective. Says the Chafetz Chaim, likewise, people go through life with so many questions. Why do the righteous suffer and the wicked prosper? Why if I do everything right, does everything turn out so wrong? Why do I have to endure so much anguish and suffering? Says the Chafetz Chaim, L'asad lavoi, when Mashiach comes, Hashem will say two words, Ani Hashem, and everything will be revealed. It will all make perfect sense. All the darkness, all the concealment will be lifted from us. And we will then be able to understand that everything that occurred throughout our lives had to happen in that precise manner. And this reminds me of a beautiful idea from Reb Shua. The Torah tells us, when Yaakov Avinu sees his beloved son for the first time after 22 years, he doesn't immediately greet him. Rather, he first recites Kriya Shema. And this is very bizarre. Couldn't Yaakov embrace Yosef first and then say Kriya Shema? So what was Yaakov's thought process here? And Rav Shrav says something fascinating. One of the highlights of Kriya Shema is when we say, B'chal abavcha chal nafshecha. We declare, I'm prepared to give my life for the sake of Hashem. For 22 years, Yaakov Avinu was extremely miserable and depressed. He was grieving for his favorite son. He sat in mourning. He was literally sitting in sackcloth. Every time he recited Kriya Shema, and he said the words, B'chal abavcha chal nafshecha, and he proclaimed, I'm willing to sacrifice my life, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Those words rang hollow. It didn't mean much, because his life wasn't worth much. It wasn't a very exciting life he was living. He was willing to sacrifice an inferior and deficient life, because that's the life he was living at the time. But then came the day that he saw Yosef HaTzadik, and he finally had again a life that was complete, a life that was sweet and beautiful, a life worth living. Yaakov said, right now, even before I greet my son, I will say Kriya Shema. Now, at this very moment, I should declare B'chal abavcha v'chal nafshecha. Now, I'm willing to sacrifice my life when life is most meaningful. A vibrant life. A life worthy of sacrifice L'shem Hashem. What a beautiful thought from Rav Schwab. When a person is experiencing great challenges and hardship, every day is a struggle. Just getting out of bed in the morning and facing the day is difficult. When they declare B'chal abavcha v'chal nafshecha, those words seem empty, so implausible, because such a life is virtually meaningless. However, if you have the proper perspective and understand that one day Hashem will declare Ani Hashem, and everything that happens to you, even the difficulties, even what you perceive as bad, was ultimately for your benefit, then even now, amidst the troubles and the darkness, you will experience great inner peace and contentment. With that, I'd like to share with you a fascinating story. In 2011, the New York Times set out to find the happiest person in America. They contacted Gallup, a firm known for its research polls, to conduct the survey. Gallup assigned a certain percentage to each quality that they deemed would contribute to the perfect profile. They surmised that the happiest person should fit the following criteria. That person had to be male. I guess males are generally happier than females. Who knew? Tall, but not too tall. Wealthy, but not too wealthy. I guess being too wealthy is not good either. Older, but not too old. Religious, a business owner, Asian American, married with children, and lives in Hawaii. Armed with this information, the search began. After 3 years of intense searching, they finally found their man. He's Asian American, male, 65 years old, 6 feet tall, a resident of Hawaii. He's married with children, religious, owns a business, and he earns $120,000 a year. His name? Alvin Wong. The New York Times contacted him. They told him, Alvin, from now on, you will forever have the title of the happiest person in America. Why is this anecdote important to us? Because Alvin Wong is a religious Jew. From all the different criteria that Gallup was looking for to find the ultimate happiness, the statistical category that carried the most weight was religion. What's even more astonishing, observant Jews scored the highest on the poll to determine happiness and satisfaction. Not that we need confirmation from the secular world, but the idea is, life is full of trials and tribulations. But if we believe that whatever we endure is ultimately for our benefit, then we will constantly live a life of fulfillment and satisfaction. And now, we know. Have a wonderful day.